Flaming, how are you?
I'm good. I'm trying to figure out what would be good punter music.
Yeah, well, you know what? That'll be Majot's quest for the next time we have you on the show, to have some punter music. It'll be
every time it's third down, it's like the pitch of the relief pitcher coming out of the bullpen.
Oh, yeah.
The kicker runs out onto the field, and he's got some music.
That would be awesome if a kicker had music, now that you think about it. Could you imagine that? Like, John Ryan comes trotting on the field in Seattle. They'd go crazy. Seriously. That'd be awesome.
Maybe some people will text us and tell us what would be good punter music.
Yeah, feel free to text in at 101260, ideal punter music for Guy Flaming. That would be great. I love it. Now, Flaming, is London the favorite? Is Brandon the favorite? Who do you see as the favorite?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's really depending on who you ask, I think. London comes in as the hottest team. I don't think there's any question about that. They've won 13 in a row. Including three series sweeps, including some pretty good teams. They swept the Erie Otters in the semifinal in the OHL's the conference finals. And that was a really strong team. They finished dead even, same amount of points in the regular season, and London swept them. So I think London is the hottest team coming in. The number one ranked team in the Canadian Hockey League at the end of the regular season were the Roy and Noranda Huskies. So they come in as the top ranked team. And I think everybody looks at the Brandon Wheat Kings and thinks that their depth and their experience has them as being a contender. And quite frankly, I think the Red Deer Rebels are going to surprise some people, and they might be getting overlooked in this tournament. I think they are going to prove that they're more than just the hosts for the Memorial Cup this year. I think it's a really strong field.
Guy, that's interesting. So many in so many matchups, regular season and playoffs, you look at the Brandon Wheat Kings and you say, well, they're the class of the division, the conference, this series. Now you get the London Knights. Dale Hunter's been around the block. Like you say, they're hot. They're a 51-win team during the regular season. And you mentioned Red Deer. It is tight, but to me, on the face of it, I look at London and see them as slight favorites. Am I reading in too much to this?
No, I think a lot of people would pick the London Knights. And listen, if you're looking at experience, this is a team that's at their fourth Memorial Cup in 5 years. Mm-hmm. So they'll have some players. They weren't there last year, but they were there 3 years in a row. The third year was as hosts. And quite frankly, they were awful that year. That was the year the Edmonton Old Kings won the tournament and the national championship. The year before that, London wasn't very good. That was in Saskatoon. The year before that, they were runners-up. But there isn't anybody from that team on this year's London Knights team. So, I mean, you can look at it, and from an organizational standpoint, they've been there a lot, but there aren't a lot of experienced players who played well. Mitch Marner was their best player, I thought, in 2014, and he was a 16-year-old. Guys like Max Domi and Bo Horvat and Nikita Zadorov, they were terrible. They didn't even show up for the tournament. So, from one perspective, the London Knights look like, I mean, they have the best line in Canadian junior hockey. There's no question. Christian Dvorak, Mitch Marner, and Matt Tkachuk are absolutely piling up the points this year. Two of them have over 40 points in only 18 playoff games. Mm-hmm. But there's a significant drop-off in point production beyond that top line. Their next leading scorer is defenseman Ole Ualevi with 14 points. I mean, there's 21 points from that top line to the next guy. So if a team that has significant depth can find a way to maybe not stop them, but limit them to a goal or two, I think you can beat the London Knights.
Guy Flaming from the Pipeline Show joins us. Guy, that's a team that scouts will definitely be watching, with Tkachuk and Ualevi both rated to go in the in the top 10. And you know, I've seen Tkachuk a lot this year. What do you like about his game? What concerns you about his game?
What I like about him is he's big and tough. I mean, he's not overpoweringly big, but he plays big. He's 6'1" and 190-ish pounds, 195. I would think he's probably ends up a 210-pound kind of guy. And he's tough around the net. I had him on the show, and he talked about, I asked him flat out, I said, how many of your points this year, of which he had 107 points in 57 games, how many of them come within 20 feet of the net? And he kind of laughed. He said, that's my bread and butter. He's like a bigger, tougher, meaner Ryan Smith. In a lot of ways, where he hangs around the front of the net, gets a lot of tip-ins and rebound goals. But he's a hard guy to move away from the front of the goal. I guess the concern would be his overall foot speed, but he's okay. It's not like it's a huge thing that's going to keep him out of the NHL.
G, Guy, you mentioned Rouyn Noranda, the top-ranked team, 54 wins. Holy cow! You know, and they've got a lot of kids who've been drafted. You know, Timo Meier comes to mind. This is an awful good club. Why do you think that maybe they aren't front and center in the minds of some people who might be looking at Brandon or London?
Well, I think because they're a small market French team that isn't on TV out here. So I think there's a lot of mystery about them. Out west, we don't know a lot about the Q teams, and in particular, a small market one like Rouyn Noranda. It's the first time they've ever won the Q championship, so they are the newcomer to the Memorial Cup, where you've got three teams that are pretty well established and led by three pretty well established head coaches. The Huskies are the new guy. But they, as you mentioned, they've got a lot of players who have been drafted, and one who wasn't drafted last year but invited to Philadelphia's camp is a big defenseman, Philippe Myers, who's 6'5 and 200-ish pounds, and they signed him right away. They liked him a lot. So they've got, I believe, seven or eight drafted players and another one like Myers who's signed. And some of the guys, their bigger producers, Francis Perron, is a 108-point guy. He's drafted, but he's a seventh-round pick by the Ottawa Senators. So that's a pick that seems to be panning out pretty well for them. And some of their other guys, Timo Meier and Jeremy Lauzon, is a defenseman and drafted in the second round by Boston. He's a big, strong guy. Missed a lot of time this year due to injury, but he's more than a point-per-game player. And yet it's not necessarily his offense that you're most attracted to. From him, and they have a lot of depth as well. Probably like the Brandon Wheat Kings and Red Deer, they have a lot more depth, I would say, up and down their lineup than the London Knights do.
Guy Flaming joins us. We're talking Memorial Cup gets going this weekend in Red Deer, and I think it's Red Deer and London kicking off the tournament. Correct?
Yep. Friday night.
So that's a great first game. Something tells me, are you going to be camping out in Red Deer over the next week? You're driving back every day.
Well, I'm going to be going down as much as I can. I think I am going to be there on Friday night for sure. I'll have my show on Saturday morning, so I won't be staying the night. I'll be going down for the game and coming right back. But, yeah, I'll get to know Highway 2 quite well.
Now, Guy, we talk about the depth of those teams, and maybe it's a little bit better. What about goaltending? Do you see any team having a clear advantage between the pipes?
Well, just statistically speaking, through the playoffs, it's Rouyn Noranda. And the netminder, his name is Chase Marchand. He is a 20-year-old, so he's got more experience. He's been around longer. But he's basically a cast-off. He played sparingly in the Q before and then actually had a stint in the OHL, back to the Q, and has really found a groove this year. But in the playoffs, he's got a .135 goals against average, a .946 save percentage, and 6 shutouts. And that is light years beyond everybody else in the tournament. And, you know, Jordan Paperny with Brandon has a below .900 save percentage. And Wylan Toth is, he missed the second about 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks at the end of the year. Came back in the middle of the playoffs for the Rebels. And his numbers aren't great. Tyler Parsons is of interest, though, for scouts because he's draft eligible this year. He's London's goaltender. And he's got some pretty good numbers, 215 goals against average and .925 save percentage. But on paper, just judging by the stats, Chase Marchand for Rouyn Noranda seems to be the goalie with the hot hand.
Guy, you know, hosts often have a difficult time at this tournament. You mentioned Red Deer. I mean, Brent Sutter will get everything out of the club he can get, but they don't score much compared to the other teams. Can they play defensively and get enough goaltending to make up for that?
Yeah, that's you nailed it for me. That's my biggest question mark for them is can they score enough and will the goaltending be there? Let's go to the scoring first. And you know, you mentioned they don't score as much. They had 260 goals this year, I believe it was, and the other three teams, all of them, scored more than 300. So there's a big difference. What I would suggest is that Red Deer's team that ended the year is much different than they played the first half of the season. They added a lot of firepower before the trade deadline. So their actual offensive punch, I think, is misrepresented by the 206 goals. If they had guys like Adam Haluka and Luke Philp and Jake DeBrusk from the start of the season, I think they'd be right up there with the rest of these teams.
Any significant injuries, or are these teams healthy?
Well, the biggest question mark would be with Red Deer, as a matter of fact. Connor Bleakley, who has missed a ton of ice time this year, he was knocked out of action. He suffered a cut on his wrist in the last game of the regular season against the Edmonton Oil Kings, and he had just recently come back from a broken kneecap before that. So he is back skating with the team. Not sure if he's going to play. We'll find out. We'll talk to Brent Sutter tonight and see if we can get an update on that. I'm sure he's not going to be too revealing, but we do know that he's at least skating with the team.
Now, speaking of Bleakley, this guy was a first-round pick by the Avs 2 years ago, hasn't signed, yep. And doesn't look like he's going to sign. So the Avs would get, I think, a second-round compensatory pick because of it. You know, what happened to Bleakley the last few seasons? Was it just a kid who, I know Patrick Roy, they sent him home right away. They didn't think he was in good enough shape. Yep. Where do you think he's at, Guy? And do you think a team will draft him again?
He will. I think he will get redrafted. I'm not sure if it would be in the first round again, but and it's actually Arizona that holds his right now.
Arizona?
Yeah, Colorado traded him before the deadline in the Mikkel Blocker deal. But no, Connor Bleakley's had a tough go, and I think conditioning was an issue for him after his draft. And we see that with some players where they get drafted and maybe they take their foot off the pedal a little bit. And he needed a bit of a wake-up call. Unfortunately for him, his injuries have really hurt him this year. So Arizona's got a little bit of time here, a couple of weeks still, if they want to sign him or not. And if not, then he goes back into the draft. I think somebody will take him. He's a pretty good character guy. For whatever reason, he and Patrick Roy did not see eye to eye.
Guy, quick two for me.
Sure.
First, is Francis Perron any relation to David Perron? And second, outside of Mitch Marner, who's been ripping it up regular season, playoffs, mm-hmm. you name it, who's worth going to buy a ticket just to see?
First question, I don't know that Francis Perron is related to David Perron. I don't think they are, but I could be wrong with that. I think every team has some pretty impactful offensive guys. This could be a really high-scoring tournament, quite frankly, in my mind, because I think the goaltending is just average, but all of these teams can score. So we might see a lot of 5-4, 6-5 kind of games. For Roy and Aranda, I look at a guy like Timo Meier, who since they picked him up at the trade deadline, and he had 51 points in 29 games. This is a very impactful guy, a top 10 pick for the San Jose Sharks. He's one for Roy and Aranda. I think Jake DeBrusque is a lot better than what he played for the Red Deer Rebels, and he, along with Adam Holuka, I think are going to be a pretty good 1-2 punch, and they have Ivan Nikulishin, who is an 80-point guy as well. I think Red Deer is going to be a fun team to watch, and we know the Brandon Wheat Kings are loaded. Dean Millard likes to use the term pop-a-mole or whack-a-mole for their offense because they just have three or four lines. They can all score. You know, one guy might be struggling. They got two or three other guys who pop up and can put the puck in the net. So it's going to be – I think it's going to be an exciting tournament. They usually are. And this one, maybe more than most, is really tough to call.
Guy, enjoy the trip. We'll be tuning in tonight. What time is it on, and which coach is on first?
7 to 9 tonight. We go east to west. So the assistant coach for Roy and Aranda, the head coach, doesn't speak his English isn't great for radio. So Jason Forche is the assistant coach. He'll join us. Then we have Dale Hunter from the London Knights, Kelly McCrimmon at 8 o'clock of the Brandon Wheat Kings, and then we ended off with Brent Sutter from the Red Deer Rebels. Then we have an Inside the AJHL segment as well, the RBC Cup and going on, and Lloyd Minster, Taylor Medical, will have an update on that as well.
Guy, always good to talk to you, man. We have a lot of people saying anything dropkick Murphys because that could work for
good.
Punters. So we will see what happens for next time. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, guys. See ya.